Hello, this is Mary Lindo. I am so pleased that you are joining me for this week's teaching podcast. This podcast is prayerfully created each week with the intention of giving you a time of resting in the Lord and for allowing Him to speak into your life through 3 to 5 minute messages and prophetic impressions and insights. Each message is meant to assist you in cultivating your love for the Word of God, combined with the power of His Holy Spirit, confirming His words over your life. Gather your Bible and a cup of coffee or tea, and take a few minutes each week to sit back and allow the peace of God to wash over you as you enjoy soft background music that inspires a restful time of worship and tender moments with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now, let's begin this week's podcast. Welcome to this podcast. This message is very important as it is a word for 2015, and this message was delivered or preached in January of 2015 at the Southgate Winter Conference in St. Louis, Missouri. And the presence of God came very strongly during the meeting. There was definitely a heavy spirit of conviction, but also hope extended to those who are in a place where they feel as if transition or this constant time of pruning or waiting just seems endless. I would encourage you to listen to this message first rather than just read it, because there are a bit more insights prophetically that came out in the message that are not on the notes. So sit back, and I ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to you for the year 2015, and that you would hear His voice and obey the Spirit promptly. Let's go ahead and go into the meeting.
And so tonight, we're going to discuss the word that the Lord has given me for 2015. It's one word of many. And so this is what He has shown me for 2015. And we're going to go through it just like He gave it to me. Okay, so let's put that picture up for what the Lord has shown me for the word. The first picture, walking without the shackles of the past. 2015. Prophetic insights for the body of Christ. Why did I not say prophetic words? Because they're insights. None of us see in whole and in full. And I would prefer to couch it in that and then let the Lord say that was a definite word for you to identify than me saying, that's the word of the Lord, you better believe it, okay? It's up to you to discern. So are you longing for purity in spiritual things from the throne of grace? Are you longing for purity in the things of God? The answer would be, are you in a place where you will risk, now this is where we're getting a little personal, laying down what might cost you your past history, and which will create a new and fresh beginning in the walk of the saint on the earth? Are we willing to lay behind some of the stuff that maybe made us comfortable in church? Maybe made us too comfortable? Maybe made us uncomfortable? Are we willing? And are you asking the question, why is it that the Lord in this season seems to be taking longer to fulfill His promises of so many hearts' desires of those now crying out? How long, O Lord? How long is this going to take? How long are you going to have to work on this situation? The Father is looking across the land, looking for those who are not creating agendas and programs to attempt to have an edge during this long season of transitioning. How many of you guys can barely stand to hear the word one more time, the church is in transition? In a sense, we have this tension, this desire to move into what we can see in the spirit or sense, maybe not even see clearly, but we know we're moving there. In fact, we are in it, but we can't see where or how far along it is. And every time someone tries to come up with a new shindig, it fizzles right now. So it's either stir up fear and excite everybody and scare them and get them into intercessory prayer meetings because any day, doomsday's near. Or the other one is it's all candy and sugar and man, we're going to have manifestations more and more and more of snowflakes in the sanctuary. Because nobody really knows what this is, but I'm going to tell you, this is that. We're in it. But when you're in a big ocean swimming and you can't see any shore, you don't sit there and go, well, I'm not going to do anything until I see it. You better start swimming, because you know what? There are sharks out there. The Father's looking across the land for people who are not attempting to force it or to make it happen. Have you ever tried to force a door open that was locked? And just about the time you go, boo, you don't hear it click and go, I just unhooked. And you push and you go busting through and you hit your head on the bathroom sink and the door gets shattered and you're like, it unhooked itself. That's right. The Lord knows what he's doing. And if we keep forcing and pushing, and that thing that says, just keep pushing until the door opens. No, pray until something happens. That's what push means. Pray until something happens. When he opens a door, he opens a door. But when he shuts a door, don't try to open it. Well, I want to check it out. I want to see if maybe I missed it. No, you don't open the door if he has shut it. Well, what if I'm out there and there's nothing going on? Then you wait. But I like an instant text now from God. And I've been sending SOS signals out now for at least 15 minutes and he hasn't answered me. You see, he's allowing the breaking and the coming to the end of oneself to continue. And few have stepped over the line into the abandonment he desires from those who claim that their lives are for his use. Oh, did you have to say that? The Lord is not requiring acts of greatness and weighty gatherings to bring glory to his plans. And the Lord says these words to those who desire to hear. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. It's not about the end result. And that's what we've been trained. If this happens, this is the end result. If this happens, that should be how it should be. Well, to a point, there are some things like that. If you stick your finger in an electric wall socket, you'll get the end result, won't you? If you put your hand in a blender, you'll get an end result. But it's about the obedience to do the simple and at times very mundane acts of silencing our fleshly needs for action and comfort. These are the two things we crave. I need action. I need movement, Bill. I need to see something happen. Are you pressed in on every side right now, child? Are you seeing that no one will hear your cry for love, kindness, support, relief, release, a new place, a new destiny, a new step? What does it look like out there? Some of you have been so devastated by people who you thought were called friend in the house of God. Dear, precious saints you've walked with, and suddenly, poof, they're gone, and they look at you like a leper. What have I done? It doesn't matter. You're embarrassing to me. Well, I don't like the way you're thinking or talking about things, and so I have to make a distancing from you. I don't want to get that on me. Psalm 69:20, their insults have broken my heart, and I'm in despair. If only one person would show some pity, if only one would turn and comfort me. And the Lord says, realize that I, only God, can be the full and well-trusted redeemer and rescue of your situation right now. Only I, God, can redeem where you are right now. Good or bad, it's only me. It's not going to be the guy that comes up and gives you $5,000 or $500,000. He may use someone, but we cannot focus on sources we think might be doing things for us, or the job promotion, or whatever. We have to know he alone is the well-trusted redeemer and rescuer in your situation and mine right now. But Lord, it looks like everything's been stripped from me. Everything I've ever known to do with my hands, with my labor, with my life, and I'm getting tired, and nothing seems to be in the field. In fact, the field's gone. I, the Lord, your Lord, am testing each heart that calls me master. And I'm allowing a divine dissatisfaction and holy irritation to stir up in all hearts. until they begin to wail out loud, "Father, why am I not filled with the peace and delight that I need? Why are you not hearing and answering me?" And my reply to you, children, is quite plain. I have said these words and have spoken them to you each in a way that I know you hear me. Sometimes I'm silent until you become silent enough for me to speak into your situation. Child, it's not because I don't love you. It's not because I'm not trying to do all these things in your life that I see. But if you can't do the rudiments of the basics of obedience and the little things, I cannot move and trust your city, trust you with bigger things. Have you repented of shutting out my voice when I've commanded you to give from the treasures you now possess? Oh, no, everybody's going to go into money now. No, I'm not talking about money. It could be tangible worldly goods. You could give to share as a release for another to be filled with awe at the goodness of my hand of blessing. It could be that you know of those now suffering for having stood for truth and having paid an enormous earthly price that need your heart to be a good Samaritan, one who will assist and bring rest and healing and support until they find their way again. That's a lot of work. But is it my will for them or your control of them? Is the Lord showing us our tendencies to be tight with generous heart-releasing giving? Not just in monetary gifts, no, in our times of patient listening to those in anguish. It takes a lot of discipline to be focused in the moment with someone who's sharing out gut-wrenching details. In your time of prayer, in your sharing of simple treasures from fresh garden flowers, produce, extra clothing, generous living and giving of all we have surplus of, and often in the form of sacrificial offerings to the Lord, is an indicator that the things of possessiveness do not own us. In Acts 4:32, one of the indicators of one of the greatest moves of God came through this verse, and all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything. Whoa. That's like we're miles away from at times, isn't it? Don't you feel like everything that they had, their cars, their bracelets, their iPads, their houses, they shared everything that they had. You see, the Lord is breaking out of you and I things that we have held as little icons and idols as Christians. And if you wonder why there's a limited level of joy and rest in our hearts at times, it is because until we have a heart that is broken and a heart that is repentant for assuming we are allowed to call the shots in our decision making and others' lives, by the way, to call the shots in their lives. Until this is admitted and addressed, the Lord will not expose us to his full measure of glory. Because he knows that if we get a little bit of that, but we want to control it and manipulate it, we'll tell other people, you can't touch it until you do what I say with it. What does the scripture talk about the glory of the Lord? No man should touch the glory of the Lord, right? The glory and honor belong to him. So here's the big adjustment coming in 2015. For many, not all, for many. Beware of arrogant pride. The root of pride is a subconscious attempt to meet a deep emotional need that we have for significance. Let's look at it again. The root of pride is a subconscious attempt. It's something underneath we don't want to look at. To meet a deep emotional need that we have for significance. If we are not careful, pride will rob us of the mechanism that allows God to impart his wisdom to us. And we may even begin praying for God to give us what we think we rightfully deserve. The motive of a proud person's prayer is to get their will done, not God's will. And in prayer, they ask God for their requests, which are usually all about them. God's judgment is against the proud who oppress others to get what they want. I want you to hear that. God's judgment is against the proud who judge others to get what they want. It's oppressing to have someone putting a heavy hand on you, always keeping you down. Huh? Watch, I'm watching you till you do what I tell you. And the Lord then will say, well, then I'm watching you. In the same way that you sow, so shall ye reap. The proud really plan their lives without God. They boast about their plans for the future, and they fail to realize it's not God's reverence and respect for their self-perceived incredible awesomeness that awaits them in the future, and it's called God's judgment. Pride is self-serving. It never blesses anyone else. Arrogant pride binds your heart and blinds your eyes to the will of God, and arrogant pride is of the devil, and it will never, never, never lead to righteousness. Mary, I hate this message. Can't you just go to the songs right now? No, this is one of those words that I would rather not deliver, but because I have to be willing to be obedient. If you want target practice, just aim for the lights, okay? The humble person seeks God's wisdom as he or she listens to God's word and then seeks to do it. Sometimes it seems impossible. The Lord tells you something like, how do I do that? You've got to seek. You've got to find how to get through that place God wants you to have. It's not going to be handed on a silver platter, if you will. It has to be something we seek his plan, and we have to take one step and one door and one window at a time, and then each door opens. And here are the characteristic of pride. You've got to guard yourself. I've got to guard myself, because in our life, in our own hearts, and in judging the attitudes of others around us, pride is insidious, it's blinding, and all who fall into its snare, it will close off the flow of God's power. The proud person only considers their own selfish interests and is usually more than willing to fight to death for those interests. The proud are only concerned about their plans with very little, if any, consideration for God or other people. A proud person's life dwells on what they have done, what they are doing, and what great plans they have for their future, and they live with blinders on. I only want to see what's good for me. Pride leads us to arguing, strife, fighting, wars, and ultimately destroys us. The proud person sits in judgment on others, and he or she doesn't hesitate to tear others down to build themselves up. How many of you have been a recipient of this? The characteristics of pride, they're rough. The characteristics of humility, now let's look at those. God says when you are humble, you are free from pride and arrogance. The meaning of humility and meekness is in the Bible. In the Bible is one of loving others and being in a position of power, not being a wimp. You can diffuse personal arguments when you're humble. You're able to be a peacemaker by mediating arguments of others. Godly humility is being comfortable with who you are in the Lord and therefore putting others first in all ways. You don't need to stand up for yourself in an angry manner, and you do not have to win. Let's say the last of that together. Every argument. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You are able to walk humbly in the power of God's Holy Spirit instead of your own limited personal power. When we obey and humble ourselves, he will return with his fresh and sweet anointing, his presence. And I believe the cry of the church right now in Psalm 51:8, I believe this is the scripture that the Lord wants us to hear tonight. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Are you there? There's this fruitfulness waiting above us in the heavenlies. And it's fruit that is for the taking, and it's big fruit. There's been a lot of prayer going up, and the Lord's bringing down fruit. But we can't quite reach it yet. But he's letting us see it. He's beginning to say, see, 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 see. And the thing is, do we understand that when new wine, when new things come, it will not be like the old things? It will have an essence, because the Holy Spirit's personality we all can identify. We know who the Lord is. We know his presence. We know his voice. But it's going to blow us in another direction, a broader impact for our cities, our nations, and our families. Many who are now unseen And yes, beat down, tested, ridiculed, shamed, used, and seemingly forgotten, will shortly and soon pass through the open door of a new beginning and the start of a vast kingdom advance. Really? Is that really true? Yes. A vast kingdom advance, not personal kingdom advance. A kingdom advance. Those who choose to hear the Lord's voice telling them to assist and nurture and support those who have been in the fiery furnaces of preparation, those will be filled with the joy of knowing that they too have passed the test of brokenness and repentance. Those of you, listen, who are in the stages of rising from the concealed place where you have been struggling to grow in wisdom, understanding, and dying to self-love, it may seem that you cannot find the footholds that you were used to or find accustomed to. Suddenly now, what used to be a way for you to find the way, you can't find the foothold. You're rising into something God's calling you to, but there's not the same place to reach for security or a way to keep climbing. Don't be fearful. The Lord has placed you in a fresh place. Listen, all of you, He has placed us in a fresh place of total dependency upon His voice, His direction, but above all, His purpose, not ours. Walking without the shackles of the past will feel awkward at times and weightless. And your time in the place of solical death has freed you from the things that have weighted you down in past years. So it's a new place of, whoa, this is something different, new. I'm not sure what to hold on to grab onto. God trains His sons and daughters, and since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us then throw off the shackles, everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily throws us off course. Men, a bunch of you are still thinking you're fooling your wives by looking at porn. You don't do it on the computer at home because you know she's checking. You do it on your phone or you do it at work. It's a shackle. It's a sin that weights you down. God sees, and no, He will not allow you to put your mouth on God's people with words when you have filth in your brain. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Inordinate affections. And this is why the Lord is waiting to address some things in the body and give that full glory. Because if those things in our little lives aren't addressed, we will use them as self-magnified needs for validation to hide the filth. And He wants us free of shackles. What does it cost us to share encouraging words in a time of prayer with one who is momentarily suffering weakness and heartache and despair? It costs you time. But when you do this, it increases a bond of unity among the family of God whom you and I are saved into through Christ taking time, who was the ultimate encourager. May the God who gives us endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus. God's word for us in 2015 is condensed into these two commandments from Jesus Christ. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soulical nature. This is the first and greatest commandment." God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit with all 9 manifestations as the specialized tools we need in order to carry out His will for us as faithful workers in His kingdom. In so doing, we gain the fruit of the Spirit as our earthly reward. Our heavenly reward is even greater, but not yet seen. Pride will cause us to lose sight of those tools. Pride takes all the power away of those 9 things. The insidious part of pride is that it blinds us to seeing that instead of gaining, we are actually losing. Humility is the key to the toolbox right now in the kingdom. Listen to me. Humility is the key to the door you're wanting to open. Humility is the key to get things to shift, to move. And it also is the key that takes off the shackles. The act of being humble to God and towards others opens the box and empowers us to use the tools for amazing, miraculous acts of righteousness. Not just miracles, righteousness is a miracle. Rightness, righteousness, it opens the door to it, and blessings. God's power for living the life well is given to those who humble themselves in his sight. So the Lord would say, hold on to hope and faith. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. The Lord of promise and compassion is coming near to you, near to I, to save us from snares and traps in 2015. There's nothing else you hear me say. That's the key word for us tonight. The Lord of promise and compassion is coming near to you to save you, to save me from snares and traps in 2015. When he comes and we bow low in repentance and in humility and say, but I want to force it. I want my way. I can't take the tension of this anymore. He will come rushing towards us with healing in his wings. He will restore the years that have devoured and broken the church. He heals the brokenhearted. He doesn't patch it over. He heals them. And he binds up their wounds. The Lord would say, be freed of the shackles of your past. It's those little things, little foxes that are spoiling the vines of us being able to reach up and drink of the fresh fruit of what God wants to bring. See, that's a spirit of conviction, and it's really uncomfortable. I am so uncomfortable having to deliver this word, I like to run out now screaming with my hair on fire. I do. I don't like to have to do that, but that's part of this calling. And yet couching it in love and begging and travailing over it, travailing in front of you, with you, saying, I can see in the spirit what's coming. And many are not going to get it because they're off running off on bunny trails, running away, doing things about the Lord, doing things because of the Lord, but not when he sent them to do it. They're still trying to run off the old motor. I've always been able to work for myself. I've always been able to get it going for myself. I've always had this ability to escape the difficult things. No longer will it be. We are in the most marvelous, scary, frightening, exciting time in the earth right now that I know of. I'm not going to get to walk through this one again. But if we as believers don't have the passion and determination to live that holy, godly, willing to obey him in everything we do, life, another culture of false spirits will overtake our youth, and it is invading your city. They're getting it now. It is time for the bride to be broken away from shackles, the shackles to fall off and run the race, and then the door opens for the next journey. Thank you, Jesus. Men of God, please. The trafficking of women, trafficking of children, is because people click the screen on and buy it. It could be your daughter, it could be your babies. And women of God, if your husband's doing this and you know he's doing it, do not enable and cover it, because your sons and your daughters will pick it up later if you do not. If you do, get help, get clean, get honest, hammer it out as a couple, do whatever it takes to get that filthy, horrible, disturbing, breaking you away from the presence of God, shaming spirit that paralyzes you. Get it out of your house, because God wants to use you to set captives free. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do speak to us and that you do reveal your secrets to your servants. And I'm asking you to please now use this message to break up the hard hearts, the hard ground in many of us who are still longing for that breakthrough that have been promised for so long. Father, I ask that the person listening to this message, listening to me pray now, would join with me in saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And help me not to be afraid of the things that I see coming around me and all of the changes that seem so fearful. Lord, I know that you have a plan. I know that your plan is right and that it is for the good of your people. Lord, we just cry out to you on behalf of the nations in turmoil, and we ask that you would move with your hand of power in a way that the lost would come to know you, Lord. Protect your people, Father. Give them wisdom. Give them dreams. Help them to hear your voice. Clear out the clutter and break off the chains of bondage that have held them back, Father, and bring them to a place where they are effective and they are powerful and mighty only in the power of your name. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen." If you would like to hear more resources or more podcasts, they're free, of course, please go to my website at www.marylindo.com, and you can find the link to go to listen to all of these. There's very many of them, and I'd enjoy knowing that you have been ministered to by them. I'd like to say goodbye to you for now, and I bless you in 2015.